James chapter 4. James chapter 4, reading verses 13 through 17. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boasting, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come and bow before you this morning. We thank you that in the Lord Jesus we have access to the throne of grace. We readily realize and recognize on this Lord's Day that this portion of Scripture speaks well to where we are and what we've experienced. Teach us from it, Lord, not just to recite it and have it put to memory, but Lord, that we live our lives in such a way that we would recognize and realize that this may be the last day that we're alive, and that there are things on our plate and before us that you would have us to respond to. We thank you for your mercies. We thank you how you've spared lives. Open this portion of Scripture. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. On Wednesday afternoon, it was around 4 o'clock. I told my wife, I said, I need to go visit a family that the Lord had laid on my heart. And I drove over to town, and they live off of 51st Street West Avenue, and visited with them for about 30 minutes and encouraged them in the Lord and prayed with them. And then I left. And as I left, Frankie called me. She said, honey, there are tornado warnings in Sand Springs. My wife, and as I think most women are, they're emotional people. They take things very seriously. And the way she came across was that it's no time for, this is really serious. Of course, I was 3-4 miles east, and when I came out and I looked south, it was all clear, it was a little bit light, and northwest, the dark clouds, and I didn't pay much attention to it. I think, well, that's, you know, I drove on and I got off on Highway 97, and I all of a sudden that wall cloud that was right in front of me, and you know, nowadays with the modern day technology, I took some pictures because it was, the electric had already gone out, the stoplights wasn't working, and it was just a four way stop, just to stop and go. And as I was waiting, I was taking pictures and turned to the left and underneath the underpass and ended up in front of the Quick Trip. And I looked to the west, and here's the tornado. Do not follow the pastor's practices, pastor thought. While I was in California at the Shepherd's Conference, we were talking to the brethren out there, and you know, Oklahoma is known for Tornado Alley. And they'd ask me, how long have you lived in Oklahoma? I said, well, since I was 20 years old. And have you ever seen a tornado? And my testimony was, I've never seen a tornado. I've seen them on television, but I've never seen one live. And so I here's the tornado. I have to pull in the Quick Trip to take some pictures of it. Then the problem was, is to get back into traffic. It was stop and go, four-way stop. And about that time, the debris started flying. And I want you to know, I began to be concerned, needless to say. It was Sunday night that I spoke from Proverbs chapter 18. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into and they are safe. I want you to know, that's all I could remember to pray. Lord, you are a strong tower. And here I am, I'm right in front of the warehouse market. Here's the stuff's flying. And I'm thinking, I want to go where the light is. And the light was on the other side of the river. And as I was managing to get on the other side of the river, a car was kind of moving. And I'm thinking, that's not good. And so I'm going to find myself at the Jones residence. Surely they got a storm cellar. I get to the Jones residence. There was nobody there. And I'm thinking, where could they be? And I said, well, they're at the Wests. So the Wests only live like 3 blocks away from there. And I turned around, and here they are. They're in the storm cellar. The gates are locked. I'm sitting in front of their house. I can't get in. And here is the dark cloud. Everything's getting black, and it's starting to hail. And I'm thinking, this is not good. Long story short, I never did end up at home or in any kind of storm shelter. I ended up underneath the Angus Acres service station underneath the canopy trying to save my car from getting hail damaged. You say, Pastor, that's not wise. 15-year-old car, don't worry about it. Get you another one. You need another car anyway. And so by the time it was all said and done, we ended up getting home. And of course, all of you know, and you can see the evidence of it as it has come across the backside of the church. Across the street is the building that's demolished, and our annual Tuesday donut shop is gone, and then across the street, and of course one of our church members, Lloyd and Helen Freeman, live right there in that house, and roofs, and you see the damage as it's done. And then of course it's just a little ways down the river, the trailer park with 40 trailers, some odd trailers destroyed. I believe there was one loss of life and there were some injuries at the same time. I want you to know, is this not a reminder of the fact of how frail and weak we are? Isn't it? And I want you to know, when you see that a cloud, a wall cloud, you see and you feel the storm and the wind moving, it is a reminder of how weak and frail that we are. This portion of Scripture, I believe, would speak to us and to all of us, and would speak to me, that we ought to have a mentality and a disposition of thinking that we ought to live our lives in such a way that our Lord is in our lives 24 hours a day, in the day. And that the Lord is not just somewhere brought alongside on maybe Saturday night, or maybe on a Sunday morning, or maybe on a Wednesday night, or whatever, but that we ought to live our lives in such a way that we recognize and realize that the lives that we live and move and have our being because of the Lord. Amen. He gives us our very breath. He orders our step. We make our plans, but God has the last say. The very breath that we breathe is a gift from God. And I want you to know that these displays of creation are not disconnected with the true and the living God. They are dispensed by and under the sovereign superintending that God is in charge of the elements and of creation. I want you to know that. And there is nothing that you disconnect. You know, we say, well, God is sovereign. He's Lord over all. But ultimately, He doesn't have anything to do with storms or earthquakes or hurricanes or tornadoes. Or He's got nothing to do with that. I want you to know He has everything to do with it. That as we live our lives, that we ought to recognize that. And James is addressing these that he's writing to. There was this mentality that the Lord was not a part in the middle of their lives. Look what he says in verse 16. But now you rejoice in your boasting, and all such rejoicing is evil. In verse 13 he says, go now, ye that say today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. That was the mentality, the attitude. Now I want you to know, folks, you know, we've got a church calendar. We work on it very hard. We try to put down the events July 29th through August the 1st. We're going to try, Lord willing, if the Lord wills, we'll do this or that. We want to have family camp. Do you know tonight we have on our calendar cantata practice at 5 o'clock? We have a deacon's meeting planned at the same time. We have a Lord's Supper planned tonight as well. And then we have a time of worship planned tonight. We have that planned. And then whatever other events that you may have on your calendar, that you have to be in Atlanta by the 16th of April, or you may have to do this or that, or you're going to put in a garden here and there and all of that, that all of these things and calendars are fine and good as long as that the calendar is not disconnected from the Lord. I think a healthy practice for all of us is that we ought to have it in our vocabulary. We ought to teach our children and our grandchildren that any time that we talk about this or that or planning this or that, we ought to say it and believe it. If the Lord wills. Amen. If the Lord is willing, we will do this or that. And we ought to do that with everybody that we're in contact with. I want to say to you, Major, there at the Tulsa Police Department, I want to say Chief Hickerson with the Fire Department, wherever you all get together and you're planning with the big wigs, the city fathers, the mayor, and I don't know, the chief and all of those people, and you're even those that are immediately underneath you in your vocabulary as you make plans, you ought to have that part of your conversation and part of your vocabulary that you would say, Lord willing, we will do this or that. What do you think? I want you to know on Wednesday night I had every intention on being here. Did you notice that we didn't even call people? Deacons, we didn't even have enough time for you to call your deacon families. There wasn't anybody that called me and said, Pastor, I came out to church and the doors were locked and nothing happened. I want you to know something. There are some events that happen in the course of our lives that readily you drop everything that you're doing. I know the Freemans down here. They had absolutely no intention on living in a $300,000 or $400,000 motorhome. Did you see that? One of the relatives that of the Freemans came up and said, we want you to live and move into this thing. Now, I want you to know the Freemans on Wednesday afternoon around 3 o'clock, maybe they watched the weather and they said, you know, we may have some thunderstorms tonight. But Helen didn't say to Lloyd, well, listen, next tomorrow we're going to live in a $300,000 motorhome. Absolutely not. I want you to know, I think it's by the time it's all said and done, I don't know about you, but I have been in a, I know you have too, I have been in a, I don't even know what the word is, in a kind of a cyclone in my mind as far as, I don't know whether I've been coming or going. With all of the things that had been addressed, how can we help? How can we minister? What is it that we can do? Do we have to do this or that? Do we have a saw that works? And how about food for this one and that one? And everything is just kind of come into a place that it's a reality check, isn't it? Don't you think that's good for us that sometimes that we get to that place? Amen. And that the Lord stops us in the middle of all of that. And He stops us and said, I want to teach you a lesson. Here are some things about life. Did you go to work on Friday? Did you go to work on Thursday? Are you going to go to work on Monday? You are. Like he's got to. In the meantime, your house, the porch has moved over like 6 inches. Shingles are off and water's been raining in, but you're going to go to work. Look what he's saying here in this passage. He's addressing the attitude of this thing of being proud and being prideful in thinking that I know what I'm going to do tomorrow and 6 months and a year from now and on and on and on and on. Isn't that what he's saying? That we'll go into such a city, continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Okay, I think we've already made the statement that it's nothing wrong with making plans, but we ought to make plans with God in our lives. What do you think? We ought to do that. And then the Lord teaches us a very important lesson, and it is a foundation to everything that the way we live our lives. He said, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. What is life? It's but a vapor. You know, when you think about it, even if you get to be 90 years old, I got an email from a lady that was a member in Oklahoma City, and she said, I'm 84 years old, and my daughter took me to the doctor, and the doctor thinks I may have dementia. Her husband passed away about 5-6 years ago, and he was 101. And, we're standing there, we're saying, man, that's a long time. Do you know I'm only 30 years away from that? Wow, that's what I say, wow. But I'm telling you what, the wow has to do with, that sounds like a long time. Carly, you're 17 years old. And that seems like a long time. I remember when I was 17, with the prospects of coming to the United States, and now looking at it, 50 years later, I'm 70 years old. And what is your life at best? It is short. It is but a vapor that appeareth for a little while. Amen. Don't we see that out here in the Arkansas Valley? Don't we see that? There are some mornings that we get up, and I can look up on my hill and look across to Arkansas, and there it is, that cloud, that haze and that fog is laying down there, and it's there. Now, those of you that have been in California, on the California coast, that's part of their lives. They wait for that sun to burn off. That's every day, that fog. Every day. What is our lives? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. Job says, O remember that my life is wind, mine eyes shall no more see good. It is, quickly, it's just passing. Whether it's 17, or whether it's 35, or whether it's 42, or whether it's 88, or whether it's 90, or 101, I want you to know that our lives at best, when you compare it to eternity, is but a drop. Isn't it? And we now think about how we live our lives. And I know this, that from Wednesday on, I know this, that I know the Freemans, and I know the Millses, I know the Guthries, I know Judy, Sister Peggs that lives down there. And all of those people, let me tell you, they all came to the place and said, is not the Lord good? Amen. How He has protected us and spared our lives? And therefore, a moment we've acknowledged that it was God that has kept them and kept them safe. But what happens when the normality comes along? When things kind of go easy and things are rebuilt and the insulation is pulled out of the trees and the leaves will come out of these trees, and in 6 months, in a year from now, when it looks like there's a normality, don't we have the tendency to forget that? That our lives are but a vapor that appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away. You know, today is Palm Sunday. And I actually got a sermon laying down there on Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is where the Lord Jesus, just days before He ends up on Calvary's cross, according to that which was prophesied in the Old Testament, that He told His disciples, go to town, and there you're going to find the colt of an ass that's tied there, and you get it, and if the owner asks, who wants it, and what are you doing with it, the Lord has need of him. And I want you to know there were literally thousands and thousands upon thousands of people that were gathered in Jerusalem for the Passover. Literally. The Lord Jesus had performed miracle after miracle, and you remember the last miracle that He performed was when He raised Lazarus from the dead. When I think about Palm Sunday, what is it that's so important, significant about Palm Sunday? That the Lord Jesus ends up on the colt of an ass and he rides through Jerusalem in a triumphant entry. I want you to know that was not a humble animal. That was an animal that portrayed that here is a significant, important person. And what were the people crying out? Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, that he's king. How long did that last? How long did that last? And as I was thinking about that, and in light of what we're talking about here, that just lasted for just a few days. I mean, that just lasted that day. And then by the time it all ends up, the Lord Jesus ends up, he's determined. The Lord Jesus could have just as well said, you just go ahead and bring the crown and you crown me king right now and I'll reign over and subdue all of your enemies. He didn't do that. He came with one purpose, with one heart and one mind. The Father had sent him because he loved the sinful world. And he gave the Lord Jesus a people and he said to him, you go redeem your people. Lord Jesus comes and he ends up on Calvary's cross. And what does he do on the cross? And there it looks like it is the work of wicked, ungodly men. And it is, but I want you to know, in all of it, it was the Heavenly Father that pulled out his sword of justice and pierced the Son for you and for me. And that he who knew no sin became sin for us in order that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And then what happens? Say, he dies and he's buried and he rose again. And then he shows himself for 40 days. And where is he now? I want you to know that there is going to be a triumphant entry. The Lord Jesus, one of these days, is going to come in the cloud. And I want you to know the Lord Jesus is going to come. And all men, saved and lost alike, all of them will acknowledge that he is the Christ, and that he is King, and that he's Lord of Lords, and that he's King of Kings. Amen. And I want you to know this morning it's no accident that you're here. How do you know that you'll make it through the day? How do you know that you'll make it through the week? How do you know that you'll make it through the month or through the year? How do you know that you'll make it? You see, how do you know that you're going to make it out of this building this morning alive? I want you to know that these palms are to represent the victory that the Lord Jesus has had over sin and Satan and death. And that the Lord Jesus, he is King, he's Lord of Lords. And that he has come and he's making you and I aware of the fact that it is appointed upon man once to die and after that the judgment. How can we face that apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and who's paid on Calvary's cross for your sins and mine? Amen. You know, there were some of those people that I know that they were totally enamored and swept off their feet. I know that there were many who believed that he was the Messiah, that he was the Christ. But I believe in that multitude of people that cried, Hosanna, Hosanna. I know in their mind is that he has come. He's going to set us free from the Roman yoke. He's going to set us free and he's going to establish, you see, this nation solidly, and he's going to be our Lord and our King. They were enamored and caught up with that. Well, may not be the case. You know, we watch the Easter story unfold as Hollywood puts it together. And we may even see the passions of Christ on television and on the screen. And we may even sit there and weep and we cry over the injustice that has been done. And then the next day, you may not ever really give it a thought again of the Lord Jesus, who is King. I want you to know something. This passage speaks to all of us, saved and lost alike. Whereas you not know what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanisheth away. For what you ought to say If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. The reason that the Lord Jesus came is to set sinners free. The Lord Jesus came under the law that you and I had trampled under our foot. And we've destroyed it from the first to the last commandments, and now we've ripped it apart. But the Lord Jesus lived a perfect life there on Calvary's cross in your stead and mine. Takes the holiness and the justice of God upon himself. And you know what he's saying to us? Repent and believe. What do you think? Are you a follower of the Lord Jesus that temporarily follows him while your emotions are high and you watch the Messiah on television as Hollywood has proclaimed? Or have you recognized and realized that he is the King and he is the Savior and he is the one that has come, and I owe him all of my heart and all of my allegiance and all that I am to bow before him and to acknowledge him for who he is and to love and to follow him, to serve him for the rest of my days. Amen. Folks, tonight is the Lord's Supper. We're talking about the Lordship and the Kingship of the Lord Jesus. We're talking about Hosanna, Hosanna. We're talking about laying out palms and the victory that he's wrought over us at the same time. How do we respond to the Lord and his words when it comes to Lord's table? You say, I don't have time. I do everything, but I don't do the Lord's Supper. You may have been a follower of the Lord Jesus, and you may have never had participated in the Lord's Supper. I want you to know, if that's the case, that I wonder if you know the Lord as King and as Lord Christ that gave himself for you. I wonder if you ought not, as this portion of Scripture tells us, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I want you to know what an invitation of grace and mercy that reminds us what the Lord Jesus had done for us. What do you think? How do you live your life? Is the Lord Jesus a part of it? How do you live your life? Do you plan a career and education? And do you plan location? Or do you plan activities and hobbies and sports and whatever all is involved? Do you plan any of that with the Lord being the Lord and the King, the Hosanna, the Messiah with us, and the one that I love and follow and serve? Do you make any plans with him in your mind? What do you think? Oh, Lord, help us to take these words and to say, Lord, you're speaking to me. Your mercy and grace is pricking my heart and showing me that I have, in the sense, just as I have felt it on my own whim, to add it or taken away as I have felt. If that's the case, I want you to know, then it's sin. And you need to repent. And you need to follow him. Let me tell you what the Lord Jesus is, the Lord of our lives. What he done there 2,000 years ago when he rode into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday. And now he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession. Amen. I want you to know that when he's going to come with trumpets out. And I want you to know every knee is going to fall before him. And everybody's going to testify that he is Lord, that he is the Christ, and that he's the Messiah. Let's live our lives that way. I think our community needs to see that. And then as we have opportunity to minister to people, let me tell you what, folks, just in addition to what we've said this morning, you may, on the way home, you may want to stop up here at Helen and Lloyd's Freeman's at their house. You may want to stop at Edwards, which is the next house, or you may want to stop at the Bruner's, which is the next house, or you may want to go up here on the hill And you may want to go see the Mills, or you may want to go see the Guthries, or you may want to see some of these other people that have had damage, strange people that you don't even know. And did you knock on their door and they say, you know, we're from Calvary Baptist Church. Is there anything that we can do to help you? And then roll up your sleeves and say, you know what, I know this is overwhelming, but every little bit, maybe picking off some insulation off of a fence, picking some trash up in the yard, or maybe even stopping by and getting a bucket of chicken and taking it to somebody that you don't even know. Why should we do that? If we know to do right and to do good and we don't do it, what is it then considered? As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them of the household of faith. What do y'all say, Calvary? You know, the Lord spared our lives, didn't He, here? Our sign, the Lord is advertising the church somewhere with our church sign. Half of it is gone, the metal sign ripped in two. One half was found in the river, the other half maybe, I don't know where, in Arkansas. But let me tell you what the advertisement that ought to come from us is: the advertisement that the Lord Jesus is our King. And that we follow Him. And that we serve Him. And that when do we do that? Let me tell you what, when we do that, we do that today. Let's not wait until tomorrow. Why? Tomorrow may not come. So what the Lord lays on our hearts today, let's do it. And let's do it with all our might. And then lastly, I want to say to you in closing is this. If you're not a follower and a believer of the Lord Jesus, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will bend to your knees and open your heart and show you the fact that how wicked we are by nature and how sinful we are, and bow you before the Lord, the King of glory, the Messiah, the promised Lamb of God, and that calling on Him and simply calling and believing on Him that you'll have life and be saved. May He do that today. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we bow before. And Lord, I readily confess that this last week was indeed a whirlwind in our hearts and minds. And as we look at our community, and Lord, we bless and we praise you for having spared so many lives. We thank you that you have given it to us to wake us up and to stir our hearts and to remind us that we have no assurance and guarantee of tomorrow. Oh Lord, teach us. Teach us, Lord, to put in practice what we just read in the book of James. Help us to apply it to our lives. And then, Lord, I pray, as we reach out to a community, that there are so many that do not know you, that you would use that, the goodness and the patience and the kindness and the long-suffering of God that leads people to repentance. May that be the case. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will you stand?